Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
All right, I want to welcome everybody this morning to Epistle Life. We give God praise for His mercies and His compassion towards us. I want us to pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for the great mercy You've shown to us in bringing to us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God upon the face of Jesus. Through Your holy written word, even as we look into it, we see the face of Jesus Christ, even the face upon which the glory emanates from. Thank You for blessing Jesus, our Lord Jesus, the High Priest, with a face, even with all Your faces, for the purpose of changing us and turning us. We ask that the ministration of change will come to everyone even today. I pray for those who are hearing, wherever they are, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and understanding will rest upon everyone, that understanding will be given to everyone today. And for me also, Father, that utterance might be given unto me, that I will connect. I align my heart, my mind, my spirit, soul, and body under You, our Lord Jesus. I ask that there will be much supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to the point, O God, that You desire it to be today, to the end that Your people might be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Quickly, our Bibles again to Philippians, where we've been looking at God has been gracious to us. Last time we were looking at Philippians chapter 2, and we looked at verse 17. Still want to talk a little bit about that verse 17. If you remember what I said last time, I said for me that verse 17 and 18 is Selah. Selah meaning that there is something there that the Lord wants to communicate that you will not just readily see until you take time to ponder over it. So in a nutshell, in recapping because of time, I want to just remind us some of the things that we have said last week while we looked at these two verses. One, we were able to understand what Paul meant for him being a drink offering upon the sacrifice of faith of the Philippian church. You know, understanding that Christ is the ultimate offering or drink offering, the ultimate sacrifice. And that everyone who comes to Him, everyone who has embodied Him, anyone who had received Him also comes to the place where such a person also becomes, as it were, by reason of imbibing Him, by the reason of enjoying Him, he feels of such a person. Like I give an example, very practical example. You take a glass and then you pour water into it. You call it glass of water. And so is everyone who has become the vessel of the Lord. He becomes a vessel of mercy. A vessel of mercy. Now, so in other words, that vessel, what it contains is mercy. And so he can minister the Lord. Now, in ministering the Lord, he also gets to the place where, by reason of that life of the Lord, he gets to the point where he too becomes an offering or drink offering that is supposed to be poured out upon the service or the sacrifice and service of faith of the people that he had ministered to. So we are able to see all of that. And by God's grace, I want to go just touch more on it to enable us to see God's mind. Now, let me reestablish today again that Jesus Christ is the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice for sin. I'll say it again. Jesus, our Lord, is the perfect sacrifice, is the perfect offering for sin, is the perfect sacrifice for sin. In other words, there is no other, the Bible says, there remaineth no other sacrifice for sin. So the only sacrifice for sin is our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 said, by one offering he perfected, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now there is another word, them that are sanctified. But by one offering he perfected forever. So our offering, when we talk about us being an offering or being a sacrifice to the Lord, it is not in the sense that the Lord Jesus is a sacrifice, an offering to sin. You can't be a sacrifice or an offering to sin again. Why? First of all, looking at it, your blood is not acceptable upon the altar of sacrifice because of the inherent sin nature that is in man. But we find our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of sacrifice, without spot and without wrinkle. He became that Lamb of sacrifice, without spot and without wrinkle, so that he, by preparation of God, qualified to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. So, our sacrifice or our offering, because there is a place of sacrifice and offering that we come into as children of God, our place of sacrifice and offering is not to take away our sin. Because it is his own sacrifice only. That is why he is the sacrifice for sin. It is his own sacrifice only that have that propensity, that have that efficacy to wipe away sin. But our own sacrifice and our offering is for something else. We'll look at it as we go on today. So, like I said, I just want to establish that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin. Two things. He's the perfect sacrifice for sin, and he's the perfect sacrifice unto God. He's a perfect sacrifice for sin, and a perfect sacrifice and offering for sin, because there's offering for sin. And he's also the perfect sacrifice and offering unto God. Amen. He offered himself unto God. Through the eternal spirit, he offered himself unto God. So two things he stands for us, which he is the one who perfects. In other words, he is our drink offering at every level. Christ has become to us a drink offering. Christ has become to us a sacrifice at every level. A drink offering that is perfect before God. A sacrifice that is perfect before God. But now one will ask, okay, if Jesus is all of that, then why do you yet talk about sacrifice and offering? We need to understand how it is applicable. You know, what Jesus simply did, two things that I perceive he did. One was, as he was being a sacrifice to sin, an offering to sin, he also was living a life of sacrifice unto God. and a life of offering unto God. Now, we can't take that aspect of life, or we can't take that aspect of sacrifice and offering for sin, because someone has done it for us. But he also taught us how to offer ourselves unto God. So the aspect of sacrifice and the aspect of offering that we learn is for to teach us how we ought to offer unto God. Amen. How we can become an offering to God. Because God wants every one of us to become an offering to him. Like I said, it is a lifestyle. So Christ for us patterned for us a life of sacrifice and offering unto God. Amen. That is why we are quoted last week in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 6, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. And has made us kings and priests unto God. So I'm taking that word, unto God. That's an offering. That those kings and the priests, they are sacrifices. A priest is purely a sacrifice unto God. A king, in the sense that God wants it, is a sacrifice unto God. So what we are talking about here are sacrifices unto God. Hallelujah. So it's a lifestyle. So what Jesus taught us is a lifestyle, or what we take from him is a lifestyle of sacrifice and offering. This lifestyle of sacrifice and offering basically spells out for us how to come to God. Basically spells out for us how to come to God. No one can come to God. You cannot come to God without being a sacrifice. What ascends unto God is sacrifice. What goes up to God is an offering. That is what goes up to God. Without being a sacrifice, without being an offering, you can't go to God. Now, one of the things that Jesus did when he was here is that you keep hearing him, especially in the Gospel of John, I go to my Father. Now, that I go to my Father, he wasn't just talking about his physical departure. He wasn't talking about his death on the cross only, or basically. He was talking about the life that he was living here. It was a life of sacrifice. It was a life that was constantly going to the Father. And that going to the Father means that he was becoming offering from one stage to another. So he was offering himself to God from one point to another. He kept offering until he, by the eternal Spirit, offered up himself unto God. But he began by offering himself. So there are stages of offering. Now, faith, many of us do not understand why we talk about faith of the Son. That faith of the Son is simply the lifestyle of offering of the Son. It's a lifestyle of offering of the Son to God. How the Son, how Jesus became an offering at the propensity, at the capacity of Son to God. Is an offering, is something he did. He offered up himself. He offered up himself. We are not to become sin offering, but we are to become living sacrifice. We are not to become sacrifices for sin, but we are to become living sacrifices unto God. That is what Jesus was teaching us. So, like I said, that faith, when you look at faith of the Son, or the faith curriculum, what it spells out is offering. Sacrifice is an offering. One who is doing faith is offering up. It's a sacrifice. One who is doing hope is also offering up. So So you can understand faith, hope, and charity. They are all stages of sacrifices and offering. How do we mean by that? Because each of them, you can offer. That's one thing. You can offer without the will of God. The will of God is involved. Now, remember where he said in the book of Hebrews, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not. In burnt offering and offering for sin, thou hast no pleasure. But a body hast thou prepared for me. Hebrews chapter 10. Above all, he said, verse 8, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Now, when you read this, you think what he's saying is that God does not demand sacrifice from us. Now, that's what you see, you perceive, yeah. But no, he was saying that the sacrifice he does not desire are burnt offering. He wants living offering. Sacrifices that he desires is not burnt sacrifice. It's living sacrifice. It means he wants you to live a kind of life. He wants you to live a kind of life of sacrifice, a kind of life of offering. I will show you. Let's read again. Sacrifice, above all, he says, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, an offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. So what is offered by the law? What was being offered by the law? Was basically the bulls, the goats, the turtle doves, the whatever meat offering according to the law of Moses and all of that. But not the... That is why it cannot make the commas perfect. Why? Because the commas are not offering themselves. What they are offering are things instead of themselves. So in other words, when God was instituting these offerings, what he actually had in mind when he said that every male Jew must appear before the Lord in Jerusalem 3 times to offer himself. What you're supposed to be doing was not just to bring your offering, but to show up. That showing up, you can't say, okay, I used to remember those days when we are, you know, go out to evangelism. We troubled one brother. I'm sure by now he's born again, but then he was not agreeing at all. We preached to him, he confessed Christ, but to follow him up to come to church was difficult. You go, he will give you an excuse. You go, he give you another excuse. So one day we went to follow him up Sunday morning just to remind him, because the church is just very close, the next street, you know. And we knocked at his door. He was just waking up, and then he looked at us, just shook his head, and then he took. He said, just help me give this offering. I cannot come. I'm just waking up. Just help me give this offering. So, you know, that's a mindset that man has. Man, naturally, if you tell a man, bring a sack of gold to God, and God will accept your person, man will do it. But to offer up himself, is to offer up your life. Is to give up your person, your life, to take up the life of another, which is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is difficult for man. I always say this, that one of the things that man has learned by being led by dumb idols is how to worship God as or serve God as if we are serving an idol. So we begin to learn the real order of service by the life of Christ. So in other words, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is this, that God is not demanding sacrifices without, or sacrifices without, that's the word, sacrifices without. The sacrifices of, the kind of sacrifices we found in the law, where you bring a sacrifice and then it is counted for you. No, in the New Testament, it is you they want. So you become the sacrifice, but not for sin now, but a living sacrifice. Now let's finish it up so that we see. Then said he, Lo, I come. Are you seeing it? Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Are you seeing? So this sacrifice here is to do thy will, O God. Kai. So in other words, you can offer sacrifice and offering in the New Testament without the revelation of his will. You need the revelation of his will to be able to offer up accurately. You need the revelation of his will, and in his will they are calibrated, that you might know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. They are all revealed will of God. So you can see that they are all levels. If they are will, then there are also levels of offering. I love that. Romans chapter 1, let's look at that. Romans, comparing we have, I just quoted in Hebrews, we'll go back to it. Let's look at Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I love this, separated unto the gospel of God. So he's an offering to God for the sake of the gospel. Separated unto the gospel of God. 12. I said 12. Romans 12, sorry. 12 chapter. Chapter 12, verse 1. Thank you. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Are you seeing it? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies as a living sacrifice. These bodies comprises basically your soul and your spirit. Now, he called it your bodies. It's plural. So in other words, it comprises your body, your soul, and all the faculties of your soul, and because they are your bodies. Another word for that is your members. So if I were to read it in another translation, it will read, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, that you, by the mercy of God, that you present your members as a living sacrifice. So your members include your soul and your body. Let's look at it. In your soul, you have your will. That's your member. In your soul, you have your emotion. It must be presented as a living sacrifice. In your soul, you have your intellect. It's also your member. In your soul, you have different compartments in your soul. They are all your members. And so they comprise what you call your body. Then in your physical body, you also have members. Because what actually runs this body is your soul. So if your soul is presented to the Lord, then this physical body will also be presented to the Lord. Now you can't present this body without your soul. It's the soul that does the will. It's the will that the soul receives by understanding and begins to do that he uses this body. This body is basically a vessel. So when you hear, a body hast thou prepared for me to do thy will. Body, physical, can't do will on its own without the soul. So if it's a body you've prepared for me to do your will, then it means that my soul has also been prepared for will. So your soul and your body comprises your bodies. Now what it's supposed to be is a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. I love that. A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Are you seeing it? Unto God. So you are to be. So you can understand what I say. We are not sacrifices for sin. We cannot be sacrifices for sin because we do not qualify to be sacrifices for sin. But nonetheless, we are to become living sacrifices unto God. Holy. Now look at that. Not just sacrifice. That sacrifice has to be holy and acceptable unto God. Now what makes it holy and acceptable is that those sacrifices are done by reason of the revelation of his will. by reason of the revelation of his will. Give me back that Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at it again. Comparing these two places. Sacrifices and offering. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifices and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. That's verse 5. A body hast thou prepared for me. So, my body was prepared to do thy will. So, in doing thy will, I become a sacrifice. Are you seeing how we become a sacrifice? We become a sacrifice by doing will. So, the level of sacrifice that we can become at any time or at any level is to the degree of the will that has been revealed to us. In other words, sacrifices can be upgraded. I'll give you an example with the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, you have sacrifices that can only be done in the outer court. You have sacrifices that can only happen in the holy place. We have sacrifices that can only happen in the most holy place. Now, you don't take the body of an animal into the holy place. That is not allowed. What comes into the holy place is the blood. Was not blood offered outside. It was offered outside. But part of the blood that was offered outside is collected for the holy place. So outside is flesh. That's a level of sacrifice. Flesh is burnt upon the brazen altar. That's a level of sacrifice. That's a level of offering. Now, in the holy place, you bring blood. Blood is a representation of that which was offered outside. So it means that that which was offered outside had been upgraded to now be able to come into the holy place. So offering and sacrifice continues. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You began offering yourself. It didn't stop at the brazen altar. It continues. How? Simply, that which was offered on the brazen altar was the whole thing. But out of that whole thing, there's a part of you that can enter. There's a part of you that can enter. The part of you that can enter is the blood. So the blood comes into the holy place. The blood also has ability to also go into the most holy, but once in a year. Now, what represents flesh? Of course, we've heard that teaching several times. What represents the flesh that was offered upon the brazen altar in the holy place is the bread or the meat offering, which they bring into the holy place. So that brings that shows you that flesh can enter, but something can enter in the place of flesh. What I'm just simply trying to show you is that there are degrees of offering and sacrifices which can be upgraded by the revelation of the will of God. So you can see acceptable, good, acceptable, and perfect will. So good will make for good sacrifice and good offering. Acceptable will make for acceptable sacrifice and acceptable offering. Perfect will make for perfect sacrifice and perfect offering. So in other words, now when you see somebody who has become a perfect sacrifice, that's what I was talking about when you look at men like Paul. They now become a offering or drink offering. When I looked at it, I just saw David is a very terrific man, to be candid with you. I don't know how that man keys into spiritual principles and demonstrates some spiritual, I want to call it spiritual prowess. It's amazing. When they were at war, the Philistines has taken over the gates of Bethlehem. And then he just all of a sudden, you know, Bethlehem is a house of bread. He all of a sudden say, how I desire to drink water from the well of Bethlehem. He desired to drink water from the well of Bethlehem. And his mighty men, I think two or three of them, just went out, stormed out. They wanted to satisfy that. So they themselves became a sacrifice. Hallelujah. They themselves, he said, and the three, they were three, broke through the host of the Philistines. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. This was the gate that the Philistines has taken. So these three mighty men broke through. They became sacrifice, an offering. Now, that action only, that action, they graduated from just, not just ordinary sacrifice, but to the point where they can become drink offering. And when they brought that to David, David looked at it and said, how can I drink? And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy? Now, I want to remove that jeopardy. That went in sacrifice, an offering of their lives. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did this three men. So what he did was that he poured the water as a drink offering unto the Lord. I think that should be in verse 16. Let's check verse 16. Yeah, verse 16. Yeah. And three mighty men broke in to the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of the gate of Bethlehem that was by the gate, or out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. Then there was a place where David poured out the water. If you read it carefully, he poured out the water and said, no, I cannot drink this. This is a drink offering. What I'm saying is that David was able to recognize when offering has passed ordinary sacrifice and offering, when it has become a drink offering. Now, drink offerings are meant for the Lord. Drink offerings are when offerings have become perfected as a result of will. As a result of doing of the will has come to the point where it is perfected. Then it becomes what we call drink offering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you. That's verse 16. He said, and he took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And poured it out unto the Lord. So David poured it out unto the Lord. So we can see here the demonstration of a drink offering to the Lord. Amen. So in other words, what I'm trying to make us see is that God wants us to get to the place where, now, is it the water? It wasn't just the water. It was, he called it the blood. David didn't call it, is this not the water that these three mighty men fetched from the gate of Bethlehem? But he was able to see it as the blood. He said, far be from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men? So he wasn't seeing water. He was seeing blood. So their offering and their sacrifices has graduated from being water to becoming blood. And what made it so is the revelation of will. The revelation of the will of God is what made it so. It's the revelation of the will of God that graduated. So in other words, when David revealed his will. Let's say David was in the state of our Lord Jesus. When he revealed his will, his heart desire, this man went on to do it. And in doing it, by the action they took, they graduated their sacrifices and their offering from the point of water to the point of blood. And David recognized that I can't drink this. This is a drink offering. And so it must be offered unto the Lord. May we offer, may we, our lives be an offering to the Lord. Amen. May our lives be an offering to the Lord. A living, not a dead one. You know, because when we look at it, God is not, I'm not saying that, of course the Bible said that blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint, but we need to also understand what that death means. But it is not the death, basically, as in your physical dying. It is in your dying daily. So when you're dying daily, you're offering daily. You know, in the dying, in the offering, in the Old Testament, there's morning oblation, there's evening oblation. So sacrifices was going on daily. I just, when sacrifices cease in the house of the Lord, darkness takes over. The reason why darkness has prevailed so much in the church is that sacrifices are not going up again. And the sacrifices, I'm not talking about your money, I'm not talking about your car, I'm not talking about all those things, I'm talking about the life. The life that we live. God wants a life of sacrifice. A life of sacrifice, not the sacrifice you hewed out for yourself. Because all of us can sacrifice. We can say, I'm doing this, but it's just sacrifice. No. Let it be according to the will of God. Let it be according to the revelation of his will. Meaning the revelation of his will be brought to you. Have somebody say, okay, what is his will here? His life. His life, his will spells out his life. His will at the outer court spells out the life of Christ at the outer court. The will in the holy place spells out the life of Christ in the holy place. The will in the most holy place spells out the life of the Son of God in the most holy place. So all of that, as when we say will, we are not just talking about, okay, what is God's will for me today? God's will for me today is to go to... relocate to Canada. Here I come again. Praise God. Don't be angry with me. I'm just using that as an example. And then, I understand what the will of God is for me. I understand what the will of God is. No, that's not the will. Because that won't bring transformation to you. The will is the life. It's not location or translocation. It's the life. The will, understand me, I say it again. When you said the will of God spells out the life of God. So when Jesus said, a body has thou prepared for me to do thy will, what he was saying is that the body has thou prepared for me to live out a kind of life which man was not living. To demonstrate a kind of life that mankind was not living. That is the will of God. In other words, how man ought to live on earth had been spelled out by God according to his will. Amen. So this will being revealed to us, as it's being revealed to us, the Lord expects us to do the will. And that's why I said, he that doeth the word of the Lord abideth forever. Or he that doeth the will of God. The word of the Lord is also the will of that. Thank you very much. And the world passeth away. Are you seeing it? If you're not a sacrifice, you'll pass away. If you're not a sacrifice unto God, you're not an offering to God, you'll be passing away. Why? Simple. If you're not a sacrifice unto God, if you're not living daily, how we die daily is that we live unto God daily. We live unto God daily. That is how we are being a sacrifice. To die daily is simple, in a very clear terminology, in a clear, very clear language. To die daily is to live unto the Lord according to his will daily. Like I said, there is the daily sacrifice that must not be taken away. So our life is supposed to be a daily sacrifice. All those bulls and goats they bring every day in the Old Testament, we are supposed to be bringing, and somebody will say, okay, how many goats and how many bulls do I have? Inside of your soul, you are many. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls you, you're a nation. No, it's a two nations are in your womb. So you're a nation. And God intends that they finish offering you. When they finish offering you as bulls and goats, which are members of your soul, then you will now graduate to another level of offering, which is drink offering. So how we die daily is by living daily unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. Then you can say that the man is dying daily. It has to be according to the will. You remove the will, then you've missed the point. Alright, let's look at it. Why we need to. 1 John chapter 7 verse 17. It said, the world passeth away. Let me pause and say la. The world passeth away. Now, why does the world pass away? Now, when the world is passing away, anyone who has become... You see, you can't be on the middle line. Let me say this. You can't be on the middle line. You can't say, okay, I'm not offering to God. I'm not offering to Satan. I'm just for myself. You see, that yourself is the Satan. That self that refuses to be submitted to God, that's Satan. That's the bull you have to kill. So if you're not offering unto God, you're offering to Satan. You are an offering to this world. We have offered to this world a lot. When you read the book of Revelation, where it was talking about that woman. You remember that woman? That harlot. And in her hands was the cup full of abomination. That woman, arrayed with purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones, having golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of the fornication of the earth. That mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. Now, what was she having in her cup? Her cup was the blood of the saints, life of the saints, meaning life that should have been offered unto God. She succeeded in collecting it. Now, when you hear the blood of the saints, these are saints that should... I know when we read it, what comes into our mind is, okay, saints that have been beheaded, that have been killed. Yes, it can be applicable. But what I'm seeing here is that this blood, she was drunk with the blood of the saints. How? The blood of the saints, these are saints, believers, who ought to be, when you say blood is life, ought to be offering to God. This thing you're seeing is ongoing. Is a state that the church is ongoing. The reason why men will not offer up themselves is that they have become part of this cup. What do I mean by that? Is a state that is ongoing. When men are not pursuing God, it's because they have been offered. So he's not talking about dead people. He's talking about men who are alive. Their blood is in that cup. Saints, children of God, who ought to be seeking God, who ought to be looking for God, but they are not looking for God. They are looking for the things of this world. Because this woman that you're talking about, Babylon, is this world. Have studied that, and I've looked into it, I've meditated over it, prayed, and I'm seeing how even believers contribute immensely to this woman. How? She ordained preachers who preach this word, making souls to offer. Now when you hear, lift up those who have not lifted up their soul to vanity, that is it. Or sworn deceitfully. Souls can be lifted up to vanity. When the soul is lifted up to vanity, that soul, that life of that saint has come into that cup. With the blood of the, he called it, who was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So this woman has blood. She has drank it. What she is after is the life of men, the life of saints. I perceive the life of saints of God to her is more precious than the life of a heathen. So he will, oh God, ah Lord help us. I ask for utterance. The blood of saints of God is more precious to her. She will rather that you don't do the will. Listen, this is it. You're doing the will, meaning you're offering to the Lord according to the will, makes for her passing away. Because she is this world. This woman is this world. This Babylon is this world. You're doing the will of God, hastens her passing away. So many are in her cup. Many lives are in that cup. But as the revelation of the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, the will of God is being revealed, and people begin to do the will, that cup becomes empty. And that her cup has to become empty. And when that cup becomes empty, there's nothing to drink, she passes away. She comatoses. And then she passes away, and the loss thereof. But how did they escape from her cup of abomination? They did the will of God. To abide forever. Mean to come into everlastingness. They did the will of God. To come into the abiding of everlastingness, they did the will of God. They found the will of God and began to do the will of God. As they began to do the will of God, they escaped that cup of abomination, and the woman passed away. This world is surviving because it has the blood of saints in her cup. I'm sorry, I'm not accusing anybody, but go to churches, go to mountains where they pray, look at what they pray for, look at what they are looking for. It's nothing, men are not, I'm talking about saints. They are not looking for God. They are not doing the will of God. A dear sister shared with me something that, you know, now I'm not against anybody, neither am I talking down at anybody, but it sounded somehow, and I'm wondering, God will have to show mercy to the church. She is a wonderful sister. She was sharing, you know, she's part of the fellowship, you know, hearing God's word at this capacity. So she met a pastor who she, you know, sometimes attends her church, and then read for her Ephesians chapter 4, where it said, where it was spelling out the job of the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the pastor said to her, she was saying to the pastor that this is the job of you. This is your job because they are friends. She was telling him, this is your job as a pastor. And the pastor said, these things you are saying are not doable. So, it sounds somehow, when the pastor said this thing is not doable, you now begin to wonder, so why are you here? What exactly are you doing? If you're not doing this, I want to say that if you're not doing this, you're aiding Babylon. You're aiding this world. So those who are under you, you will bring forth teachings that will make them offer sacrifices to idols. Meaning you will teach them how to become sacrifices in the cup of this woman. So many lives, many blood of saints are in the cup of this woman by the preaching of ministers. That's how they came into it. Because you preach a soul until he lifts up his soul to vanity, to idol. He has just entered into, he has just jumped into that cup. And that's what he will be. And he made everybody drink. And once you are there, you will not only, she will serve you her cup and drink your blood. She drinks your blood, but serve you her own cup. So when you're drunk with her own cup, you will never recover. You will never, but thanks be to God, some will recover. Many will recover by God's grace. Many will recover as the will of God is being revealed. You see, the way the prodigal son came to himself, you know, that word came to himself means that he was beside himself before. He came to himself, and what made him to be beside himself was that he was drunk. But the drunkenness will fizzle out, and men will begin to realize that this is what we actually ought to do. We ought to serve the Lord our God. Therefore shall the ransom of the Lord return back to Zion. The ransom of the Lord will return back to Zion. That's the prophecy. The ransom of the Lord will return back to Zion. Amen. And in the book of Revelation chapter, I love that, thank you, Isaiah 35 verse 10, the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Why? Sorrow and sighing is as a result of that cup which they have drunk. Then in Revelation chapter 7, it was said, therefore are they before God, serving him day and night. Their service, which the woman had collected, had been recovered by the doing of the will of God. And then the woman has passed away. Now I want to say this. There is the passing away of this woman, which is Babylon, which is this world, corporately. But this woman should be passing away in our lives individually. Now, we are not going to wait until that time when she will pass away, when we will hear Babylon is falling. No, individually in our life, it's supposed to be written, therefore are you, personally, before the throne of God, serving him day and night. How? By the revelation of his will in his temple. Amen. Individually, I want to say, individually, we are to get to that place where Babylon loses his strength. We are no longer contributors to Babylon. How? Our life is not found in her cup. Our blood is not found in her cup. How did we escape that? By the doing of the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So back to where we were. That's in the book of Philippians. Looking at it. So we've seen that it's a lifestyle of coming to God. And that which must come to God is our soul. Let's finish that Romans chapter 12. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Then you see, be not conformed to this world. So what hinders service to God? What hinders sacrifice to God is this world. And what will make us escape this world is the will of God. A revelation of the will of God, which we do, will escape this world. I say it again. What hinders service to God is this world. But what will make us escape this world is the revelation of faith of the Son of God, which is the revelation of the life of Christ as an offering, as a sacrifice, an offering unto God, will make us escape this woman, escape this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to understand what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. So I'll say it again. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 5:23, that's 1 Thessalonians. And the very God of peace. So you can see, God's intention is to sanctify. So our sacrifice and our offering is to separate us unto God. Amen. Is to separate us unto God. That's what it means, offered unto God. is unto God. We look at this again. It talked about the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, your whole spirit, soul, and body is what has to become a sacrifice. Your whole spirit, soul, and body is what has to become an offering. Let's look at 1 John also. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. So that you can now begin on, I want to narrow it down to something you can hold and go with. Thereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So we can see that he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life. This is what the will of God will teach you. That's the life of sacrifice that I'm talking about. That's the life of sacrifice. Give me Ephesians so that I can buttress it. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1. Ephesians 5, 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and do what? And walk in love. Verse 2. You walk in love as dear children, and walk in love. Followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. I love that. Walk in love. You walk in love. Amen. You walk in love. As dear children, you walk in love. That's what is love here? What is a lifestyle? Walk is a lifestyle. Spelling out the life of Christ in the flesh is to walk in love. That's a sacrifice. That's an offering. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, because that's what God is. God basically lives a life of sacrifice. Amen. Sacrifice, the concept of sacrifice came from God. For God so loved the world that he gave. That word gave is he sacrificed his only son. So the concept of sacrifice and offering is God. That's who God is. God is constantly a sacrifice. God is constantly an offering. Amen. And that's he's teaching us how to live eternally. You can't become eternal if you're not a sacrifice. You can't become everlasting if you're not an offering. I'll put it this way. You can't become everlasting if you're not a sacrifice. You can't become eternal if you're not an offering. So God is teaching us how he's living. That is why it's a revelation of his will. The revelation of his will spells out his life. Walk in love. Walk in love. So, love walk is the revelation of the will of God. When I walk in love, what am I doing? I am living a life of sacrifice. As Christ also had loved us, and what did he do? He gave himself for us an offering. Are you seeing it? An offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savour. Hey, for a sweet-smelling savour. He gave himself. So anytime I'm walking in love, I'm becoming an offering and a sacrifice. To the measure of love that has been revealed to me, which is the measure of his will, and I live it out, I am becoming a sacrifice and an offering. And what is ascending to God from me is a sweet-smelling savour. Hallelujah. I love this. It's a sweet-smelling savour that is ascending unto God. Then give me back that 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We become a sweet-smelling savour unto God. But here, John now explains it. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he said, be therefore followers of God as their children and walk in love. So thereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Then what did he say? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. May we learn this. That is the part of being everlasting. That is the part of being eternal. Selfishness, you will not last forever. You will never become eternal. You will end up in the cup of that woman, the cup of her abomination. She will collect your blood and make you drink her own wine. So we lay down our life. It's the will of God that we lay down. What we are reading here is a revelation of the will of God. If you're looking for the will of God, what's the will of God? Here it is. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. As a sweet smelling savour. I love that sweet smelling savour. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. I'll just close with that. 14 and 15. Amen. This is Paul. Praise God. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. That's a living sacrifice. Meaning you're supposed to be smelling everywhere. You know, we sing that song, your fragrance, I'm talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, is smelling everywhere. Now, he wants to also tell you, if he's to sing to you, I want you also to be smelling everywhere. Let the knowledge of God be smelling everywhere. Now, how the knowledge of God is going to smell everywhere is through you. He called it a savour of the knowledge of God by us in every place. As Jesus is smelling of alloy, cassia, and myrrh, we are also supposed to be smelling of that. Myrrh is, those are bitter herbs. Those are herbs that are synonymous with death to flesh. That is the revelation of his will. When you say aloes, myrrh, and cassia, they are will. They are all will. They are all will that needs to be done. It's a life you live. You live a life of aloes. You live a life of cassia. You live a life of myrrh. You're dying daily by the will revealed. And then, what comes out of you, what oozes out from you, what exudes from you is a smell. Hallelujah. Smelling everywhere. A savour of his knowledge. A savour of his knowledge by us in every place. So when we do his will, we become sacrifice and offering. Are you seeing why we need to do the will? We become sacrifice and offering, knowledge of his will, a savour of the knowledge of his will. Verse 15. For we are unto God. So are you seeing it? This sacrifice is unto God. A sweet savour of Christ. Hey, by us. So God smells Bratunde, and what he's smelling is Christ. God smells Pastor Emeka, and what he, before Pastor Emeka used to smell flesh. Abominable. God will say, no, don't bring this to my courts. But he smells me now by reason of will. What he perceives is Christ. The savour, sweet savour of Christ. He sends forth that aroma. That aroma exudes from us individually unto God. Amen. In them that are saved and in them that are perishing. 16. To the one we are the savour of death unto death. And to the other a savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We are savour. Savour of death unto death. Savour of life unto life. It's, all of this is wonderful. It's good. From one level of death to another. They are seeing us. They think we are dying. But we are living. We are actually graduating from life unto life. But some think we are dying. But we are not dying. We are actually living. For them, reality of life is that you are seen in the silver screen of this world. I don't know if you understand me. Just imagine this world to be a silver screen. To some people, that you're seeing in the silver screen of this world means you are alive. By doing the will of God, you escape the silver screen of this world, and then you're now seen in another screen. I'll call it the red screen of Christ. Amen. Not this world. The silver screen of this world. The red screen of Christ. I'm just using this as a terminology. But you know, for some people, they are not seen in the silver screen. Have they ever asked you, this your church is too much? This your church is too much. I remember Mommy Helen said something, you know, and I said, this is a good testimony. This is a good testimony. A friend of hers told her, I'm talking about Mommy Helen, a friend of hers told her, they know they serve God past you. They serve God reach you. Meaning, if somebody is serving God, he will be looking at you as a standard. That's a servant. That's a servant. And the person who was saying this was a believer. He was a believer. Meaning the person has not been able to come to the place where she is able to offer up sacrifice to this level. I was saying, have they ever asked you or told you, your church is too much. Your own Christianity is too much. Is your own different? You're not doing whatever every other person is doing. What makes it different is just the will that has been revealed. What makes it different is that I'm no more in the silver screen of this world. You're not seeing me there. You're not seeing me as a player in the silver screen of this world. You're not seeing me as one who can be, you know, who is a contributor to the cup of this woman. But you're now seeing me living another life. So for some, you are like, they're like, this guy is Kai Eya Omasheo. You're 34, you're 35, 36. You're not married as a lady. Nobody's seeing will. Those are I'm mentioning this because those are the things that trouble us. Even pastor, if you're not careful, you stop preaching will and start preaching having night vigils for people to get married. But the will of God is more important. Especially in this time and season that we are. It's those that do the will of God that will abide forever. If the trumpet sounds, they are not going to be asking you, did you get married? But they are going to be asking you, did you do will? Even if you're married, they are not going to be asking you, okay, thank God you're married. Because you're married, sit down at my right hand. They're going to ask you, what did you use the marriage to do? Did you use the marriage to achieve the will of God, to do the will of God? So, it's not whether you're married or not married. Mm-mm. Whether you're married or not married is not what commends you to anything. But that in each stage you find yourself, that you're able to find the will of God and do it. And in doing it, you are transformed. In doing it, you appreciate. In doing it, you become an offering. You become a sacrifice, that a sacrifice of sweet-smelling savour. Savour unto God. God wants us to be a sacrifice unto Him. Ultimately, the Lord will want us to become a drink offering. After we've sent savours, we come to the place where we become a drink offering that will be offered upon the faith, service, and faith of the brethren. God bless you so much. My desire, my prayer, is that the Lord will bring us to this point. The Lord will teach us how to be a living sacrifice, living for Him daily, living the life of the will, of the revealed will, to the end that we might become that which is pleasing and acceptable to Him by Jesus Christ. God bless you so much. Father, we thank you. Thank you for showing us mercy. Thank you for the revelation of your word to us. Thank you for blessing us today. And I pray that these things that we have heard will become life that we live. In the name of Jesus. Oh, take us higher in the place of sacrifice and offering. That our lives will become, the way we live daily, will become offering and sacrifices. In the name of Jesus. Father, I commit those who are weak in their body, trusting you for health. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing them. I proclaim your healing power upon them right now. And I declare, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you again. See you next time as we fellowship together in a peaceful life. God bless you. Shalom.
By the new and living way. We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.